said that we should shout out to our fans at the end of the podcast and say that we appreciate their business.
Is he paying us?
I have no idea. Are you guys getting are you guys getting paid?
Not to my knowledge.
I've got a small deposit that's been going into my bank account that I can't really place the source, so maybe that's him. Thank you.
That's pretty funny.
Hey there, welcome to The Horrible Show, the video game podcast of HorribleNight.com. I'm your host, Justin, gamertag JDevil, and this is the episode for December 8th, 2010. Tonight we're going to be focused on the news headlines of the previous month of November, and joining me this evening is our regular podcasting crew, starting with Coleman out in California. What's up, Cole?
Hi, Matt.
Got Ethan and Indy.
Well, hello.
And Christina and Indy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thanks for joining me tonight. We're going to start off with our threesomes of the week, where everybody's picked three forms of media that had their attention in the past week. And we're going to jump to our on-the-spot question to get warmed up for our gaming discussion of the headlines of November, where everybody's picked a couple headlines. And after the conversation, we'll try to decide if any of these headlines are actually going to matter beyond this month. And then we'll take it home with some HorribleNight.com updates and game industry shout-outs. So let's get rolling with Coleman, your threesomes of the week.
Well, in a previous podcast, I talked about watching X-Files on the Netflix Instant Watch and started watching that again. Just got into season 4, and holy shit, this is where they're like, this is where it started taking off, I think, because in the first 8 episodes of the season, they have one of my favorite X-Files ever is the pig people, like the inbred people who live out, you know, in the country. And it's a weird episode, but it's great.
That's a true story, right?
Yeah, true story.
Pittsburgh, Indiana.
And then the next couple episodes are like a cigarette smoking man's origin, and then the first black oil episode, which is pretty much like the, you know, goes out through the rest of the run of X-Files, and that was their main mythology. So
season 4 is where it kind of...
Season 4 started. Is the shit so far, yeah.
Are there any signs of angry aerial creatures in the Pig People episode?
Aerial creatures?
Like angry birds?
Yeah, I didn't catch that. Yeah. I feel stupid now. I don't remember seeing any birds, but they sure were stealing things. Those gotcha. Damn pig people.
That's probably where I would start then in season 4. So,
yeah, I think it's the second episode. So
cool.
Then I've been playing Splosion Man.
Still liking that, or grabbing through your controller for the TV?
Oh, I finally got past that boss. Surprisingly, with the help of my wife.
My wife.
And because she was sitting in the room watching me play it. And she made a suggestion that actually worked and made sense, and I felt really retarded for not having thought of it myself. But I, you know, soon after that, I beat the boss that I was having so much trouble.
Did it involve making your character jump and exploding 3 times? Was that her suggestion?
No. No.
Wife power.
But jumping on a wall was her suggestion, and I was so dumbfounded that I hadn't thought of it before.
Well, that's kind of backwards from how when you got introduced to the game, she was playing a majority of the time, and you'd come in and save the day. So it's nice to see that you guys can still tag team.
That's right. That's right.
Way to pull your way to pull your weight, Gar.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the what's the sequel called? Explosion
Miss Splosion Man.
Miss Splosion Man. Okay.
The allusion to Miss Pac-Man has made me very happy with that.
Yes, I love the bow.
God, I love Twisted Pixel.
Yeah, they're awesome. And haven't watched it yet, watching it after we do this little podcast dance we're doing. so currently downloading Inception on the Zune store. So
okay.
I'm really excited.
I predict that you like it. I'm going to go out on a limb here and say you'll
I'm
think
gonna
it's
I'm going to go out on a limb too and say you hate it.
Oh, shit. I'm not going to hate it. I already know.
Oh.
Ethan,
and you'll medium lost. Like it.
Okay, there you go.
I'm going to stay on the tree trunk, if that's okay.
Just hang out down below.
I'm indifferent.
You're such a koala bear.
Hey.
They hang out on the tree trunks?
Please.
I don't know. I don't know what they do. Evil bastards.
They hang on branches. Don't be an idiot.
No, they live in Australia. It's all backwards down there anyway. All right. Alienated the Australian crowd. Moving to Ethan.
Well, I'm going to alienate a lot of people in mine, so just get ready.
I'm prepared every time you speak.
Yeah, I know. I was going to say, oh, this guy's on again, that dick. The theme before the last couple weeks was shitty movies. Now it's computer-generated animated movies, and follow that up with Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, a tale of fear and how technology can control things that we don't expect. And basically it's about weather that makes food come out of the sky, which is feasible.
Clearly a fear-based
fear-based movie. It's kind of like Al Gore's environmental movie.
Oh, this is nonfiction, right?
Yeah, it's nonfiction.
Okay.
It could happen, but it was pretty good. It was funny.
I thought it was pretty entertaining. It was better than I expected.
Yeah, but I really like the
same studio that did Surf's Up, right?
No idea.
Yeah, I don't know.
I believe it's the same studio, and I thought they did a good job.
The extent of my animated movie knowledge at this point is I can identify if it's a Pixar movie, and based on the character's expression on the cover, I can identify if it's a DreamWorks movie.
Right.
And if it's not one of those, then I don't know.
Thanks, I can Sony only did that.
Identify if it makes me smile, and this made me smile.
Aww.
That's all you need.
Was it labeled as a kids movie this time?
Yeah, it was in the kids section.
Okay, just
because of meatballs. Kids love meatballs. They absolutely do, I think.
Adults love meatballs. Cole, did you join me today in the meatball sandwich for lunch?
No, I did not.
Were you at a meatball sandwich for lunch?
I did.
I want to.
You almost talked me into it too.
I know. Well, you want to smell my what?
Nothing. I'll move on.
Okay.
I love Minecraft. I played Minecraft all weekend, and
what is Minecraft?
Man, if you don't know, I don't even know how to fucking explain it. I'll be honest with you. It's like a mining simulator.
It's online Legos, man.
It is. It is. It's like, yeah.
I'm just trying to help our less informed crowd out, you know.
Oh. I know, and I before I wrote this down, I was like, how am I going to explain this game without sounding like I'm really, really high? which I have not achieved that. So it's a fun game. It's hard to explain. It's an independent game. It's cool. There's a building mechanic. There's a exploration mechanic, and I love it. I don't know.
How much is it these days?
$13.
13. Okay.
Yeah. So that's it. It's in the alpha at this point. In the alpha. And the guy who created it, Notch, is going to be adding all kinds of cool features to it. And it's got quite the following for being an indie game. Yeah. So it's fun. And because the game doesn't come with any sort of instruction manual, you have to seek out the Minipedia, which is a Wikipedia for Minecraft. And in that, you get to learn what the blocks do. You use blocks to build things, and you dig blocks up, and so there's all kinds of different functions to the blocks. Man, I sound like an idiot.
No, you're good.
And all the crafting recipes and all that sort of thing. Aww. So both of those things go together. I wish I would have found a Minecraft-themed video, and then I would have been 3 for 3 tonight. So,
but you got meatballs. That's fine.
I got meatballs.
What have you been spending your time doing in Minecraft? Like, are you building... Do you have a goal? Are you building something huge? Are you going in and building a bunch of small stuff, or are you just, like, digging through the world?
I started digging a big hole, which was great, but then I started building a castle, which was great, but then I started constructing a big penis, actually, and that's what I've been working on.
You just described, like, all of my beach adventures.
Yeah, no, I use this gigantic penis to, like, view the rest of the Minecraft land.
So, like, a penis telescope?
Well, it's like a penis tower almost. It's okay. Observation penis.
Observation.
Does it have a deck?
Yeah.
Oh, Christina, save us.
As always.
Well, let's see. I watched The Beach last night. Boy, that was an odd movie. Did you guys ever see that with DiCaprio?
I just added it to my queue because I saw
it's
that I was on.
So weird. There's actually a little video game moment in it, and he's like running through the jungle and smiling really. Like I don't think I've ever seen Leonardo DiCaprio express himself this way. Like a weird nerd. Like it's very strange. But like basically, the premise is he finds this island that no one really knows about, and he and a couple other people get there and find a colony of people who are already living there.
Is this Lost?
They don't do anything. No, they want to be there. It's like just the perfect beach, but there's also some armed men on the island, and they're guarding a bunch of weed. And
hey.
Anyway, it's a very, very strange movie, but some of it I thought was really well done.
If I remember right, it got really mixed reviews, and I can't picture it because I have the island stuck in my head that
the Ewan McGregor movie.
Yeah, but yeah, so you haven't seen it, Cole?
No, I plan on it because it's directed by Danny Boyle, I think. And
yeah, that was it.
I like him, so. I think this is like his first movie or one of his first movies that he did.
I think so.
Do they have any beach parties?
Dude, they had lots of beach parties.
That's the best thing about the beach.
The parties.
They went fishing and they built shacks.
They dug a hole and built a castle and they built a penis.
Giant sand penis sculpture.
They had a supervisor.
That they worshipped.
Fell asleep.
As far as the game goes, I downloaded Comic Jumper finally, and I played the demo, and like not even 2 minutes into it, and I'm like, yep, bye. That was just too funny. I mean, it is repetitive, but I think the dialogue alone makes it worth it. It's constantly poking fun at itself. It's referencing other games. It's referencing, you know, it constantly breaks the fourth wall, and it's like, hey, didn't we do this thing in like the last level, and why are we doing it again? And
I mean, the developers hire the character in the game. That's like, that cracks me up. But I'm glad you agree. Like, it's worth it just on the dialogue alone. And
yeah,
I really need to finish that game. Does it? I've played through the first two comics that he jumps into. The Conan one, and then the old timey
kind of
What's the next one?
It's a manga comic, which is pretty.
Oh God, I can.
Yeah, it's like a cutesy kitty.
I anticipate the racism.
Yeah.
Cool.
Actually, there wasn't too much.
Are there any tentacles in it?
Too much. yes, they were actually the school mascot in the Japanese. Game was the fighting tentacles or something like that.
Yeah,
you don't get to fight.
Is that what you said?
I think something about like the fighting tentacles, or they were just called the tentacles. But you don't actually play them, but you see posters for their team mascot all over the wall.
That's
awesome. Pretty funny.
I recommend anybody at least checking out the demo to decide for yourself. But that game is fucking funny. So
yeah, and the whole concept of I wonder if they first wanted to do like a two character kind of game, and then somehow they figured out, hey, rather than have like two characters talking to each other throughout the game, why don't we have one and have his logo also be a character that he converses with? Like, I just thought that was brilliant.
The Star's a dick too.
Yeah, he is. He's a total dick, the star in his chest, so check it out. And as for music, I listened to some TLC. I haven't listened to them in like since 1990,
yeah,
I don't know.
I remember that year,
man.
Waterfalls, man.
I had crazy flashbacks of, I don't know, whatever grade.
Were they
I was
crazy,
in.
Sexy, cool flashbacks?
Oh,
well, I was in college,
yeah.
Podcast over.
Yeah.
One.
Was that the album you were listening to? Seriously?
I think so.
Is it Waterfalls and all the?
Yeah, I think Waterfalls and what were some of the other ones? I don't remember, but man, it was very funny.
Speaking of TLC, I watched the The Other Guys. I think Cole, Ethan, I think one of you has seen that movie. The Will Ferrell, Mark Wahlberg movie. Am I right? Or no, Christina saw it. No.
Yep.
Really random Michael Keaton TLC references in that movie.
What?
Yeah, and,
that's right.
And Michael Keaton's in that movie, for the record. So, watch it just for those scenes, actually. Very weird movie. All right. Since I already hijacked, I'll jump into my threesomes. The real movie I want to talk about, I checked out Salt this weekend. It was a movie that I stayed away from because the trailers were so bad. It's the Angelina Jolie movie where she gets outed as a Russian agent or whatever.
I hate it when that happens.
It looks like, hey, we need another Bourne movie. Let's have a girl in it, and we'll use Angelina Jolie. It just looked like kind of like a no-brainer setup. But I kept hearing from actually mainly my roommate, and he kept telling me that, you know, he'd heard really good reviews of it and from people that he trusts. And I'm going out on Rotten Tomatoes and all those. I'm just seeing average reviews, and so I had no draw to see the movie. But I decided to check it out this weekend and was really surprised by it. It's most of the stuff in the trailer is one of those that takes place in the first, 20 minutes, but the rest of the movie is really entertaining. Like, I wouldn't say it's like, the best movie ever or really excellent, but it's really, really entertaining. And I tend to like Angelina in action roles. I mean, say what you will, I'm a big fan of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. So if you liked any of the action in that, but add a little bit more drama and Cold War era stuff to it, I recommend it. All right. And then next up, music wise, the Tron Legacy soundtrack by Daft Punk came out this week. And I've been anticipating that one for a long time, and it is as fantastic as advertised. So it's really cheap on Amazon or iTunes if you just want to grab the MP3s. And if you have any passing interest in the movie or in Daft Punk, it's really good stuff. And now game-wise, I have told myself that I'm going to limit myself to talking about World of Warcraft for only this week. I've made my article post that went live earlier this week, and the expansion, World of Warcraft Cataclysm, came out on Monday night, Tuesday morning, and I rushed out to pick that up. But I've been playing Warcraft for about a week and a half now, ever since they basically released a patch in the game that put in all the major stuff from Cataclysm that I was interested in, which is... They basically used the excuse of this dragon destroying the world to redo all of the main areas that I played through like 4 years ago. And so I just wanted to check those out. And everything is just a lot more polished. Like, I'm really jealous of first-time players because the game is just so much easier to play than it was 4 or 5 years ago. Like, just the way they – basically you have – groups of quests in different areas, but the way that they would tell you to go from one area to the next when you're starting to level up, they guide you to those areas a lot better is the best way I can describe it. So the only thing I want to say, other than I'm really enjoying it, is that if you ever have had a passing interest in this game, and this is pretty much the best time to jump in that you're going to get, as far as they've just reset a lot of the stuff. And there's a lot of deals out there right now to get the earlier games for cheap. You don't actually even need to buy Cataclysm at this point, because that mostly has later game content that you may or may not get into. But really enjoying being back in Warcraft, and I will try to shut up about it. That's kind of why I started that other blog documenting my character, so I can get all of those words out before infecting Horrible Night with it. So, not that I'm ashamed of it, I just don't want to bore people. So, all right, crickets, let's go. All right, let's move on to our on-the-spot question. This one comes from our buddy Street Alchemist. He wants to know, what is your planned excuse this holiday season to skip out on work or family to play more video games? Ethan.
In reference to family,
I could probably fake some anger towards being the middle child because both my brothers will be in town and throw a fit. And, you know, maybe everyone will be like, aw, we need to leave him alone. And I'll just play video games. For work, maybe I'll poop my pants and need to go home.
Very simple excuses. I like it. How's pooping the pants go over in the office, Ethan?
Not well.
No hesitation there. What about you, Cole?
Mine's pretty simple. I'm going to tell my family that I have to work and tell work that I have a family thing to do. So I have to find somewhere to go where they can't find out what I'm doing.
So how does the wife, how is she involved in this? Do you have to hide it from her?
I don't have to hide it from her. She's pretty open. I mean, she's pretty cool about if I ask her if can I play some video games, she's like, sure. And she'll just get on the computer and either sit in the same room or go do something else. So she's pretty pretty easygoing when it comes to video games.
I laugh now about the idea of asking permission, but I see that happening in my future. So.
Yeah. You'll be there soon, sir. Be there soon.
Christina.
Ballooning accident. You know, I think that's believable. Just
because you balloon a lot.
Yeah, and especially in the winter when it's totally cloudy and it's like, you know, 20 below. I think that's plausible.
Makes sense. I happen to live far enough away from my work and from my family that I can use the car trouble excuses quite a lot. I'm on the north side where there's a lot of traffic, so and different weather patterns hit here than the hometown, so you know, sometimes I just can't make that hour drive, and so I might be hiding out due to the weather in my car that's only 2 years old having all these issues. So that's my plan anyway. All right, we're a bunch of liars, but let's turn to the facts, the news of November. We're going to go through our list of headlines and then, like I said, at the end, kind of recap them and see if any of these headlines are going to be worth talking about in the future. One thing I did want to point out, don't really want to turn this into a discussion topic, that this past month was the fifth birthday of the Xbox 360, which I thought was pretty cool. And just this console cycle's getting old, but doesn't really show any signs of slowing down unless you're a Wii owner. Because actually I heard somebody make the – in our Meanwhile post this week made the reference that some of his iPhone games are starting to look better than his Wii games.
Yeah.
All right, first headline. I'll start us off. Towards the beginning of the month, actually, the Xbox 360 had a dashboard update. It was mainly to add in support for the Kinect features, as well as adding ESPN, and really just kind of cleaned up the look and feel of the site. They made subtle additions to the avatar to make them a little bit more Kinect friendly. But I'll just kind of go around what were your overall impressions of the dashboard update. Cole?
I tend to like it. I think they updated the Netflix along with it, right?
Yeah.
The Netflix app. And that's the thing I use the most, obviously, besides playing games. And I really like the added features of the Netflix app. Adding search was a huge thing. Huge.
Forgot about that.
Yeah. And I don't know. I still like the way it looks. Like, I still am enjoying the way the dashboard looks, more so than the last iteration of it.
Have you found yourself using the Kinect to navigate it very much? What do you think about that?
Not as much as I thought I might be, because I don't use, when I do the ESPN stuff, I don't use the Zoom that much, the Zoom store that much. Like I said earlier, I'm buying Inception tonight, so I'm going to try it out for sure. But I just think there's not enough things you can do that, like, you can't do Netflix, which is, you know, like I said, the thing I use the most.
Gotcha.
So once they do that, I probably will use it a lot more.
I do like yelling at the Xbox to surprise whoever's in the room with me that it's actually responding to me. That's pretty much the main feature I use.
I've woke my wife up a time or two saying Xbox ESPN.
Your wife answers to Xbox. That's weird.
Well, she's just like, what are you doing?
Christina, what do you think?
I like the graphics. They changed a lot of their menus and whatnot. But I don't know. I'm kind of indifferent toward it because I don't have a Kinect, so that kind of stuff really didn't affect me.
Yeah, I'm a little picky on it. Like, I like the Kinect stuff, but I just want the option of having a dark theme again. Like, the fact that everything went to white.
Yeah.
I don't mind it, but it was dark before, and I prefer dark minimalistic themes, and it seems like you should almost get the option of the lighter dark, but that's being really nitpicky. I do like that they kind of flattened out how you're scrolling between tiles, and so it can go a lot more infinitely rather than, you know, some of the perspective stuff that they were playing with. So they cleaned that up, and otherwise, you know, it wasn't a major overhaul from what it was before, but I think everything works pretty well. And I agree, Cole. The Netflix thing was probably the biggest addition, just to search through those movies.
It's crazy to think, like, you know, when they first Xbox first came out 5 years ago, they had the Blades, and
yeah,
that's when I first had my Xbox. Was that? I mean, I had seen it since I bought the new one and messed around with it, but it was quite the change from coming from that.
I want to go back to the Blades to see how bad it is in comparison.
It's like, so unorganized and cluttered.
Oh, sorry.
Was that a mouse trap that just went off?
I just smacked my hand on my desk.
Don't do that. Ethan, have you turned on your Xbox to check it out? Any impressions?
I wondered what that gigantic update was the other day when I turned it on. Yeah. No, I, you know, I, again, I'm kind of indifferent like Christina. I do like how quickly they reacted to the complaint about the indie games menu. They kind of had set that kind of back in kind of a weird place.
Yeah, it was like buried like three levels deep in the specialty shops, but they pulled it back out to, there's a lot of indie developers complaining about that. And if that section ever gets a push, it's at least nice to know that at least halfway paying attention to them. So
yeah, they got rid of that arcade app that they released this summer, right? Because I haven't.
I think if you have it, you can still use it, but I haven't tried it.
I haven't tried it either, and I haven't really looked for it, so I don't know if it's still there or not.
The arcade live destination or whatever. It was pretty useless.
Yeah, it was.
All right, let's move on to our next headline. Start with Ethan.
Well, we've talked a little bit about the Uncharted movie. It's supposed to be coming out, and the prediction of who the lead was going to be was incorrect, as Marky Mark Wahlberg has stepped up to the plate, and he will
feel
be
it,
the main.
Feel it.
He will be Nathan Drake.
Not only that, keep going. Get all the bad news out of the way.
Not only that, but the movie...
Say hi to your mother for me.
Not only is the main character not even close to what Nathan Drake was in, or the actor that's playing Nathan Drake isn't even close to the personality type that he was in the game, the movie isn't even close to what the game was. If you expected this movie to be good, I mean, you were probably kind of dumb to begin with, but...
okay, I was dumb, but yeah.
Me too.
I was going to say, it's going to... I mean, don't even watch it. It's not the same thing. I will say this about it, though. The complete translation from game to movie has not worked in the past. However, yes. This is an example of what we talked about in our movie and games discussion of alienating the fans by changing the movie completely to make it more palatable to the non-gamers out there. So, whereas Uwe Boll does the too much gaming in the movie... This movie sounds like it's going to be not enough of the game in the movie.
It just sounds like, yeah, you're alienating the crowd that played the game. So why even use the title? Like, in that realm, you're going after a new audience. So that's the only thing that bugs me. Like, I was on board. Like, I kind of felt like we were all excited that Nathan Fillion might be Nathan Drake, because that. It's probably who they based the video game character on was Captain Reynolds from Firefly. And But the strength of the game was that I felt like, I think I said this before, I felt like it was a better, it was like a more modern version of Indiana Jones. Like they had kind of taken the spirit of the Indiana Jones movies and put it in with a new character in a new world. And it was, I felt like Uncharted 2 was more entertaining than the most recent Indiana Jones movie. And so, but they're not trying to make an Indiana Jones movie. Like, I guess, you know, the Marky Mark and the director have been all excited about, you know, building out Nathan Drake's family, trying to lure, was it De Niro and Joe Pesci?
Yeah.
To be his, like, father and uncle. And I've heard rumors even that, you know, they deal in, like, antiquities and artifacts and trying to protect, you know, historically significant items and find them. And but a lot of it may even take place.
What the fuck is that?
Yeah, it might, like, even, like, take place in New York. And, yeah, like they're just, like, kind of museum dealers. And doesn't really sound very adventurous. And I don't get why they were even drawn to the franchise if that's the case. That's really frustrating. But like you said, I really didn't have high hopes for it, but it's still disappointing to see it headed in this direction. So, all right, let's move on to Christina's first headline.
There was an article about Microsoft, and there were some, I don't know if they were rumors or maybe just some early statements saying that Microsoft would really crack down on people who hacked the Kinect. But there was an article here that said, no, we're not going to go after them. And I think the only thing they were concerned about were the people who were going to use the Kinect somehow to cheat with Xbox games. I don't know how you could do that, but, you know. Some nerd would figure it out. So, people have done some actual cool things with the Kinect. One guy was able to capture like 3D data of his room using the Kinect and his PC. Another person used the Kinect to recognize objects that he held up. So I think it's good that Microsoft won't be doing this because I've seen some awesome demos of people hacking video game stuff like the Wiimotes and things like that. So
yeah, I think everybody just kind of expected Microsoft to, you know, crack down on it, and then they kind of did an about face. It looked like they were heading that direction, and then they just backed off and realized, you know, all these like hacking videos and experiments, they're promoting the Kinect, and two, I think they're showing developers really what it can do. I mean, the one guy, like the stuff that stood out to me was the one guy, I think you're talking about with the 3D stuff, he used two Kinects to like,
right,
to model 3D stuff and 3D space, and it's really cool that people are that interested in the technology and able to play around with it. And then I got a kick out of the guy that attached the Kinect to his robot vacuum cleaner and had it react to humans. So people made the jokes that robots are able to identify humans, and the beginning of Skynet right there in your living room. But
this is where it starts. Thank you, Microsoft.
I don't know. I mean, granted, you know, as an early adopter of this, I'm looking for any strands I can to hold on to be hopeful for this system. So I'm a little bit biased, but, you know, I'm pretty excited that people are at least interested in the technology, and I hope, you know, I think it's, you know, a lot more interesting than what Sony's been doing and where the Wii's been going. So, you know, I think it's got a lot of bugs and polish still left to be done, but at least people are interested in the technology, so who knows what'll come from it.
Well, it's good to see people have, like, positive intent to, you know, messing with or hacking software or hardware. You know, it's nice to see all the creativity that's come out of it. That's my big thing, because again, as soon as you hear hack, it just, you just have these images of just people just trying to make a buck or trying to, you know, profit off something that somebody else did. And it is really interesting. It's really cool to see, you know, again, the potential of that. And yeah, I think you guys are right. It's, you know, why would you bash free advertising? That'd make absolutely no sense, you know.
Oh, and the other thing that got me really excited as a user interface designer is anytime people reference the Minority Report menus, the way they navigated screens in that movie. That was one of the other demos. People were using Kinect to manipulate menus that way. And if we get closer to Minority Report, I'm pretty happy, as long as Tom Cruise stays away.
Well, I hope not.
Come on,
okay, if I get closer to the cool menus in Minority Report, yes.
Not future psychic crime.
Predicting crime. That's scary as shit.
Yes. Yeah.
Agreed. All right, Cole, what's your first headline?
My first headline is the OnLive micro console is out, or will be coming out. I think it's out now, but they kind of announced the release date and pricing in November. And I think it was the 2nd that it came out, December 2nd. So when they originally announced it, it was going to be $100. And it was going to be, you get one free game with the service. And what the service is, if you guys don't know, is basically you have this box you hook into your TV.
Or computer.
Or computer, yeah. It started on the computer, but now you don't need any games on the property where you're playing it. It like streams it through the box or on your computer, and you're playing a game over the streaming, which, you know, sounds pretty cool in theory, but you know, there could be some lagging, and multiplayer games seemed like they would be impossible. But they just announced too that it's going to be like a $10 a month service. So I think that's a little more appealing to people who might be into this sort of thing.
And I think you get like a package of games too. Like,
yeah, I think so.
Rather than
sure exactly.
Yeah, because it sounded like you were supposed to pay for the subscription and then pay to rent the games. But they've at least said that a package of games will be available to subscribers, which is much smarter. It's interesting technology in that it's kind of, you know, when consoles go away, it's kind of leading in that direction. I don't think they've nailed it on their own. They'll need a lot more support, and we'll need a lot more upgrades as far as internet speed to be able to stream that high-quality video, like you said, without lag and also without artifacting and that kind of thing. Because, you know, I can only get HD video on my Xbox to work, you know, two quarters of the time. So, three quarters of the time, not two quarters.
Two quarters is a half, Justin.
Yeah. So it's still a little ways off from being, I don't know, practical for most people, but it's nice to see somebody at least trying something new.
I think they have a competitor too, or they will down the road, and somebody, I forget who it is, but somebody big in the tech world is involved with that one.
And you see Sony and Microsoft and what they're doing with digital downloads and a lot of their streaming stuff with their video. I mean, when that market is ready, they're building the technology to do it. I don't think it's going to come from another party, but like you say, there's competition, and it's gonna be Microsoft and Sony that'll knock them out of the water.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think it's a definitely interesting product, and it's something that could be more viable in the future. But like right now, I just don't see it being that successful, because people who are into gaming are gonna either have the systems or PC already, and not gonna want to spend the money on this thing, and they'll have a pure experience at their home, you know, when their actual game boxes in the house.
Yep. Cool. Go back to Ethan for your second headline.
Well, this piece of news was actually kind of surprising to me, and probably surprising to a lot of us on the podcast in terms of Activision making a statement about, you know, their Call of Duty franchise and the fact that they're never going to charge for multiplayer, which, you know, the reputation that Activision has is they want money. They want to make as much money as possible. And it would only make sense for them to go into a subscription-based multiplayer service in the future. An analyst, Michael Pachter, spoke about, you know, how dumb it was that people weren't charging for multiplayer, and just talk about the potential for just huge amounts of money to be made. And Activision said, you know what? That's not our goal. It's we want to offer a service to players. One aspect of Call of Duty's popularity is the fact that you can get on and you can play for a long period of time and it's free, you know? And also, you know, Mr. Pachter doesn't take into consideration that, you know, a lot of the business ideology behind the Call of Duty series is all the DLC that you're going to be buying anyway. So in the end, gamers are still going to be playing a lot of money. If Call of Duty ever went to a subscription based, I wouldn't play it anymore. I think that there's a few of us casual Call of Duty players that probably wouldn't play, and I think that would just alienate the audience. So it was good to see Activision say, hey, we're not that greedy.
Yeah, it surprised me that they made such a final statement about they'll never do it. It wasn't like I didn't see it happening even in the next 2 years, but I just thought it was, I've talked about it before, I think it's inevitable that they'll have to do it to go to the subscription model, especially like, you know, you see Activision paired up with Blizzard, and just, you know, the Activision side just looks at the money that Blizzard is making hand over fist with World of Warcraft and their subscription model, and they're trying to figure out a way to apply that to other games. At least that's what I thought. So, but it sounds like they're making plenty of money on the off the DLC, and they don't have to change it. And then as far as Pachter goes, anybody that's been following my Twitter stream recently, he's kind of like the go-to video game analyst from the financial side, but he's getting a lot more press recently. Like in the last 6 months, like everything he says, he'll make statements about. He made statements about this. He made statements about why the PSP failed, and a couple other things recently. That every time he says something, people think it's news, and it's really starting to annoy me because, you know, not everything that he says comes true, but he influences investors, and it's just, it's really kind of. I either want the guy to shut up or for people to just stop taking him so seriously, and. But it was just kind of funny that he took the evil side of Activision that everybody's been kind of pushing against when this story comes out for guys like us, that, or at least Cole and I, that are kind of anti-Activision, kind of makes me, you know, respect them a little bit more that they can make a statement like that. And then, you know, Mr. Analyst comes in and and tries to shoot it down. It was kind of surprising.
Well, there was a funny comment made in reference to the article about him, you know, just kind of, you know, laying out this subscription based idea, and somebody said, you know, he just spouts his stuff out because he wants to be right here soon. So the more garbage that he says, you know, the better chance that someone's going to be like, oh wow, he made a good point, you know. So
yeah, his batting average isn't so good though.
Yeah, no, that was the other comment, not so much.
It was one of the few. I think that was probably was that the Destructoid article that you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's one of the few times I agreed with Jim Sterling. So, Cole, you got any other thoughts before we move on?
I don't know. Like you said, you're surprised that they made such a blanket statement that they'll never charge for it. I thought they had left themselves an out, but I don't remember what it is now.
I think their out is they can lie.
Yeah, I guess that's true. And they will, because they're evil.
There you go. Brought it back home.
Yeah. I don't know. It just seems silly that they would say something like that, and especially being a part with Blizzard, you know, and seeing how much money they're making with WoW and their subscription model. It just seems, you know, seems like you make a lot more money than putting a game in a box and never seeing any money again for it.
What's that, Christina?
It's a different type of game, though. I mean,
yeah.
And I have yet to see. Like, I mean, who does charge for first-person shooter subscriptions?
Nobody.
No, but yeah, it just seems like somebody's going to try to get that business model for something else. Like, I'm expecting to see more experiments in it, I guess.
The only way I see Activision going back on their word is if they suddenly start making, like, online RPGs. But other than that, yeah, I think they'd just get mutilated if they even attempted to charge.
Yeah, we'll see as the Battlefield and Call of Duty wars continue to heat up. I'm sure one of them will jump to the subscription model. But anyway, let's move on to Christina's second headline.
Did you guys know that Mario is 25 years old?
That's exciting.
Yeah. Actually, it is pretty surprising that Mario has been around for that long. And what's great is just going back and looking and comparing the graphics. Like, that always cracks me up. I just can't believe how far video games have come. And anyway, diving into this article, the Wii has released a limited edition Super Mario All-Stars box set for the Wii, to be redundant.
Is it for the Wii?
It's for the Wii, by the way.
By Nintendo.
You can. Nintendo is the owners of the Wii.
Who's in the game?
Mario.
Okay.
So we've got Super Mario Brothers 1 through 3, and I think that's it for the games. They've got a soundtrack CD. They've got a 32-page booklet.
Art book.
Of their. I was getting to that word, art, booklet of art, and it comes in this nice little classic, simple looking red and gold box.
I love the red and gold.
I'm kind of surprised that they didn't go all out for you know, 25th anniversary. I figured they would have like said, hey, we'll give you like every old school Mario game that came out before the Wii. Like, that would have been awesome if you could have, you know, Super Mario World, Super Mario 64 in there. I don't know. Maybe that's just me. There's been a shit ton of Mario games, I realize, but I think that would have been badass to have it all on one system. And who knows, maybe they're saving that for the next console.
For the 30th anniversary. No, but I actually completely agree with you, Christina. Like, that was kind of my argument when it came out. It's like, at least throw in Super Mario World. But it's also $35, and then it's the Mario All-Stars. Is it $30? Okay.
I see 30 here.
All right. It's the Mario All-Stars that came out for the Super Nintendo. So it's got lost levels in it, but it's literally that game repackaged, which requires pretty much no effort, and that kind of annoys me. But
is All-Stars available on Virtual Console?
I don't think so. I'll look it up while we continue to discuss.
I was going to say, too, though, I'm kind of glad they didn't put the newer Mario games in, because I tried playing Mario 64 the other day, and that is hard to do when it's not when you're used to playing, like, dual joysticks. When you have to, you don't have full access or full control of the, you know, the camera buttons or whatever.
Yeah.
It makes it very difficult to go back to.
You have to use those C buttons from the N64 controller, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yellow ones. Yeah, that was strange, I remember. And
but now, like, going back to it after being used to the dual analog, it's just like, whoa.
All the right angles of the camera angles.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't look like it's come out for a Virtual Console, which I'm glad they're not being redundant there. But yeah, I agree. I think they should have backed off. Don't put the 3D Marios in there, but that's, you know, throw in
World,
Mario
definitely.
World and maybe Yoshi's Island. You could make an argument for that, but you know, they've converted those for the DS, and it just seems like they were there, and, you know, make it $40 and throw those games in there. Make it a little bit different than the game we released for the Super Nintendo. But you're giving me an art book and a CD and a cool box, so I'll buy it. But I'm easy.
It's only $30.
Yeah.
I hope the CD is, like, very dry and monotone. Like, back in 1980.
It's got commentary.
It's an NPR radio show.
Oh, God, that would kill me. NPR, like, gets under my skin, man. I can't listen to it. There's something terribly irritating about how calm they are.
They're just waiting for something.
Oh, my God. Yeah, like, you're expecting them to strike. They're just... Later today on NPR, we will be talking about boxes.
Genocide.
We have a box expert in here.
Anybody else got to pick this up?
Yeah, I think I'm going to, or ask for it for Christmas.
There you go. Better idea.
I mean, yeah, it's... I already have Super Mario Brothers and maybe 2 on Virtual Console, but I don't care. It doesn't matter. Like, I want the art and the NPR CD.
Agreed.
Narrated by Shigeru Miyamoto in Japanese.
All right, let's move on to Coleman's last headline.
My last headline is my great, great governor of California, who this is his last year in office, has been trying for years now to put the video game world industry into the hands of the government in terms of ratings. And he initiated this law that actually went all the way to the Supreme Court, and they debated, you know, whether or not violence should be controlled by the government or what the ratings are for those games. Kind of started, like I said, it started in California. And the law would restrict the sale of violent video games to minors based on what the government deems inappropriate. So if there is cooking or something that California doesn't like, then that game is going to be rated mature. So basically it just like kicks the ESRB out to the curb, and your ratings are controlled by the state, which is kind of weird and scary.
Based on the guy that made some of the most violent movies out there.
Right? I mean, like, does that make any sense at all?
I never knew.
Billions of dollars.
Never knew where it was coming from, and then it kind of failed. It failed at every level, so that's how it got up to the Supreme Court. But so they had those initial arguments or whatever this month, and no real results have come out of it yet. But it seemed like the court was kind of more or less poking fun at California for trying to bring this to the attention.
They're like, what the hell are you guys doing? Like,
yeah.
You want to control free speech, basically, is what it boils down to. And, you know, the Supreme Court is usually on the side of the Constitution when it comes to that.
So. Yeah, I don't think it stands much of a chance, but the scary side of this is that there are at least a handful of other states waiting to enact their own laws the second that this goes through. So people are kind of watching this carefully. And I still don't get why, you know, at this point, why people can't make the parallels between video games and movies, and how movies are, you know, the rating system is trusted with movies, and that's, you know, video games have their own, and maybe they need some adjusting here and there, but the government doesn't need to be involved.
No, and I mean, who's to say why can't they do that with movies and stuff? You know, why can't they why aren't they getting involved in that? Because that's an independent board of people who rate those, and also parents will still be able to buy their kids these games. It's not like making them illegal. It's just like
makes it illegal to sell it, right?
To a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, but somebody who's older than 18 can still buy the game. You know, it's still not necessarily going to solve the problem.
I have a huge theory on all of this.
Okay.
And hear me out.
I will.
It's very similar to the marijuana, cigarette, cotton conspiracy. Why is marijuana illegal? Because there's a lot of really rich people in the government who made money off of cotton and tobacco. And everyone knows that legalized marijuana would make, you know, cigarettes not as popular. And hemp is a better form of, you know, to create fabric. Video games are killing movies right now. Killing movies. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Movies aren't doing how they used to be. Arnold made a bunch of movies. This law came from California. I mean, you know, I'm not one for jumping into conspiracy theories, but don't you think that there may be a little bit to that whole, you know, no one said anything about the movies, but they're really aiming for the video games. I mean, if I was in a movie studio, I'd want my lobbyist saying, hey, let's make these things difficult to get because we aren't making any money anymore. You know, I mean, the movie industry is dying for the most part. I mean, it sucks, you know. I think it's a huge – there's underground shit going on, my friend.
I did find it weird that it – well, one, that it's coming from Arnold, but two, that it's coming from California. Like that, you know, that it's not coming from like a more conservative state.
And right, exactly.
That always surprised me.
Conspiracy.
not to promote conspiracy theories, but conspiracy.
Okay, so I have the actual like – bill in front of me, and the very first thing, yes, thanks to somebody who put it in the comments.
Okay.
The first thing the first thing that it says in Section 1A, it says, exposing minors to depictions of violence in video games, including sexual and anus violence, makes those minors more likely to experience feelings of aggression, to experience a reduction of activity in the frontal lobes of the brain, and to exhibit violent, antisocial, or aggressive behavior. So how is that any different than movies? Like,
yeah,
you know, there's this big argument about that movie Black Swan and, I can't think of what the other one is.
And Natalie Portman being hot?
No, that's not the argument.
Okay.
There's no argument there. Anyway, there's another movie that has a sex scene in it, but it's between a man and a woman, and Black Swan has one in between a woman and a woman, and it's the same type of sex scene. And the movie with the man and woman is rated NC-17, and the Black Swan with Natalie Portman is rated R. And they're saying, how does this make any sense? It's just a natural part of life. Yet Saw and Hostel and all those movies are ridiculously violent, and they get an R without any like second thought, you know.
The more tangible example I've seen of that recently, and this is kind of getting sidetracked, but was a screenshot of The Walking Dead and like basically some scene with the head exploding of a zombie, and the caption said, "But we still can't see boobies on TV."
Right. Yeah. Exactly. And there's even one movie, like All the King's Men, not All the King's Men, it's The King's Speech. It's been rated R just because it says the F word a couple times, or cursing. And it's like, wow, you know,
it's,
like,
it's have archaic. You seen
Back to the Future? PG-13 used to have a lot of cursing, but it doesn't anymore.
Yeah, when I went to the 25th of Back to the Future, I was surprised. It's been
or
so
PG,
long since
it's
like,
PG, it's not even PG-13.
It's PG and they say shit all over the place.
Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
Anyway,
Airplane should be rated R.
Yeah.
Airplane's got nudity. It's got I'm not sure if it's got the F word. It does have a lot of language in it, though. We've got drug use. I mean, it's a long list of. I was surprised to find out that was PG.
I just think it's so crazy that
this is.
We can have all this violence and words are worse than chopping somebody's head off, you know.
Yeah, but we still kind of contend that the violence isn't even that isn't that bad as far as, I don't know, illegal activities.
Right, yeah, you're right.
Like, I mean, I'm still for, like, it, you know, stores getting penalized for selling mature-rated games to minors. I'm for that, but I'm not for it being controlled by the government. I want it, it's just like a, as a store policy based on the ratings, and the ratings controlled by the industry, and like it's the government involvement that bothers me, and the fact that they're trying to make it illegal. Like, it's just it's going the wrong way, but you know, this is the maturation of the industry, and these conversations have to happen, and hopefully it you know, the discussions grow up and take some lessons from the history of the movie industry. So, all right, last headline. This is actually surprising to me because it's not every year you hear about a major publisher canceling a major title, especially when that major publisher is Electronic Arts and it's one of their perennial sports titles. But after much back and forth and a few leaked videos of some really broken-looking gameplay, EA Sports finally canceled NBA Elite 11, which was the kind of building the NBA Live series up from scratch again. They brought in a new team that had kind of redone their NHL series, but it didn't look like NBA Elite 11 came together in any playable fashion. And, you know, none of us are really big basketball game players anymore, but the fact that, you know, a title of this magnitude actually got straight up canceled at the very last minute. I mean, it sounds like the videos leaked from, you know, pressed copies of the game. It was ready to be shipped to stores, and EA at the last minute just decided this game is not good. It's broken. And it sucks, so we're not going to release it, which it's the first time in a long time I've ever heard of a game getting outright canceled like that. So I was shocked, but also, you know, I tend to try to find stories to make me like EA a little bit. I'll admit to that. Just, you know, part of the anti-Activision stance is liking the competitor. But at least they were somewhat concerned about the quality of this game and didn't release a defective product that probably would have sold all right just because it, you know, had the EA Sports name and the NBA name on it, even if it was broken. So good for them for actually canceling it. It's got to hurt. But nice to see they're at least somewhat paying attention to the quality of their games.
Yeah, I'm keeping the demo on my Xbox.
I'm
not going to delete it.
Did you play the demo much?
No, I played one time. Nothing happened when I played it, so I was kind of disappointed. But, you know, I'll go back to it periodically just to get a little taste of some basketball. You know, I have both of the... I had both of the games, the demos, the 2K and the Elite. And 2K was, you know, way better, obviously. But I didn't think it was horrible, you know. But I also didn't experience any of the bugs that, you know, made that game famous.
What was the Jesus bug?
The Jesus pose, yeah. The game room pose.
The guy that just, like, is standing with arms straight out in midcourt, just not moving for minutes at a time.
Oh. Yeah.
Chris, what were you going to say earlier, Christina?
Oh, I just think it'd be funny if they, like, bury the all the games that they have. Yeah, I mean, you said they had all these, like, made and ready to ship, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, they should bury them in that New Mexico landfill with all the Atari ET games from 1984.
The video game graveyard, that'd be a...
Yeah.
And then Ghost Adventures could go visit it and be haunted by... terrible games of the past, but
yeah, because StarCraft Ghost would be there too.
Oh, that's kind of sad though. I was looking forward to that game.
You know, I was at Blizzard last Christmas and I asked them about it, and because they've got a giant statue of one of the ghost girls in the main lobby, and they said, we'll never say never, but no plans as of yet to to make it. So
I think you need a little bit more backstory, as not to sidetrack, but why were you at Blizzard?
Oh, my dad did a couple sessions for them. He's a trumpet player, so he was doing the music for the World of Warcraft. Anytime they do like an expansion, he does the music for that. So he got called, and he called me one day and said, yeah, I just did a session for World of Warcraft. I'm like, Dad, your daughter wants to get into like the 3D industry, either the game route or the movie route. Did you happen to get anyone's name? Like, he's like, oh. So after like, and it took a couple years before I got a hold of someone to get me a tour of the studio. But yeah, I was able to take that last Christmas, and it was fun. I got to see some stuff they were working on for the next expansion, and I got to see some of the cinematic stuff, which is the higher detail stuff. I loved it.
Can you mention to your dad next time, too, that you have friends that are extreme fanboys that would go to any game company?
Yeah. I may try to hit a couple of the people I met last year. I might hit them up for lunch when I go home for Christmas.
Cool. Keep track of that.
Yeah, yeah.
Wrapping up the NBA lead discussion, Ethan, just as far as – I was just trying to think of – hearing of any other cancellations of this magnitude, and what was your reaction to that news, even not even as an NBA fan, but as a video game news aficionado?
I think it's a good sign. I mean, I don't think it's a bad thing, because if your game sucks, you know, that shows. I mean, again, if we're going to give credit to some of the big companies that have kind of a, you know, less than stellar reputation, EA showed that, hey, they're not just going to try to – I mean, they could have gone the route to, you know, make a little bit of money off that and just say, hey, fuck it, you know.
Yeah.
But obviously they did keep their, you know, reputation intact. And I hope a lot of other game studios do this, because there's been some buggy-ass games coming out. And there's been some games that have been big disappointments. And I think that gamers demand more, you know, and that just shows that the industry understands that. Because every once in a while I feel that – the industry is beginning to think that we're kind of stupid, and then we'll just buy whatever comes across the, you know,
yeah,
you know, our desk or whatever. And I think that that's a good sign of things to come. I just don't think many other game companies will follow suit because, again, in the end, it comes down to the money. So,
In the end, it's hard to out of the big evil companies, you know, the big publishers. I mean, EA is at least making efforts here. Like, I appreciate what they're doing as far as trying to do original franchises and not trying to whore out their sequels as much, even though and then at least taking quality into account. So very positive. All right, let's wrap this up with everybody kind of going through these headlines and mention the two or three that you think are actually going to matter in the long run, starting with Cole.
Not to be selfish, but I think the ones that I picked were could be the ones, you know, have the far-reaching consequences or benefits. The online streaming, you know, who knows what's going to happen in the future, and maybe Michael Pachter can help us out with that. But I don't know. The technology is interesting, even though I'm not going to get one. But I think it definitely is interesting. And then the Arnold Supreme Court video game violence business is, you know, I hope it comes to a conclusion soon and Supreme Court just says, you guys are dumb, we're not doing this, and then that's the end of it. But I'm sure, you know, there'll be more appeals every year.
What about you, Christina? What do you think?
I have to agree with Cole. I think the video games and the Supreme Court business is definitely going to be something that's going to take a few, I don't know, it could go over the next year, just trying to resolve this. And I of course, the Mario box, you know, I mean, we'll be talking about that in 2025.
What, Ethan?
You know, I do think that the theme with a lot of these articles is, you know, kind of a look to the future. And so I think one that, you know, I think the idea with the Kinect is a pretty important one because, again, it's such a new piece of technology and it seems that there's so much potential for it. And I mean, you know, the whole idea of virtual gaming, you know, is seems more realized now, you know, and one day we may be in gigantic rooms and, you know, playing games like they do in movies. And I think that's cool as hell. I can't wait for that.
Sounds like a boring ass
like
movie.
The holodeck video games.
Yes, the holodeck. Oh my god. That's my after we get Minority Report, we're getting the holodeck.
I just try to figure out how that would work. Like the floor would have to be some kind of like gigantic treadmill so you don't run into the walls.
It's best not to think about it.
It would be like that virtual insanity video with Jamiroquai.
Jamiroquai reference. Looking through these, yeah, a lot of these are kind of wait and see. I think the Kinect, if that console or whatever you want to call it actually succeeds, I think you'll look back at the hackers, or at least I think what's going to come from that is somebody's going to get a job out of that, and I think that guy will kind of carry the banner of the start of hacking the Kinect, and we'll look back on that. As far as the Schwarzenegger and the Supreme Court stuff, that battle's long from over, and I don't think it's going to go anywhere. I think the Supreme Court's going to push it aside, and that conversation will evolve, but we won't. We'll just kind of laugh at the fact that Arnold was involved at one point, and then I still think that Activision will charge for multiplayer down the road, and we'll look back to point them out as liars. But that's the only reason that would stand out. This particular Xbox dashboard update probably won't go down in history, but I do like the fact that they continue to improve the dashboard each year. I don't think they'll keep doing it each year, but you know, if you look at the advancements on the 360 versus what Sony's doing, you know, you kind of
just nothing.
Yeah, it's. I say what you will about Microsoft, but I love their Xbox division and how they continue to support that console, and that makes me excited. And hopefully, they continue doing that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's move on to HorribleNight.com updates. Just a few things to point out here. I've got our games of the year discussion coming up here in a couple weeks. We're still deciding on the name of the award, but we've got a few different categories that we'll all be voting on, and there'll be articles on the site and a couple podcasts as we talk through our nominees. So look forward to that. Our Forum Spring account's been a little bit active this week. I want to give a shout out to Justin Schimpf, the Backdrifter, for contributing there, and you can hit us up at formspring.me/horriblenight if you have any questions for us. You can use them for the podcast or just get back to you and get you involved in the conversation, and happy to give you a shout out and look forward to hearing from you there. A new editorial series popped up last week, How You Play the Game, just kind of looking back at some of the non-traditional ways that we play games. And the first one kind of was a little bit introspective on my part, just trying to figure out how to break games or when the game doesn't punish you when it should. So look for that series to expand in the future. And then apparently Ethan's brother, Matt, he wanted a shout out. So Moses 5885, shout out to you.
Woo!
Okay.
That was...
Speaking of shout outs, let's wrap this show up with taking a look at the gaming industry and just anything that's standing out to you at the moment, starting with Christina.
Oh my God. Okay. King of Kong.
Strap in,
everybody. I watched this documentary, King of Kong. It is about two people whose life goal it is to compete for the friggin' high score in the original arcade Donkey Kong. This is Steve Wiebe and Billy Mitchell. Billy Mitchell is a douchebag.
Agreed.
Like, this man had spies, and it was ridiculous. Steve Wiebe is just sad because he's got this arcade game in his garage. He's playing it, ignoring his two kids, ignoring his wife. Like, it's his life fucking goal to beat Billy Mitchell. And it goes back and forth, back and forth. It's so dramatic. Billy Mitchell's got people trying to befriend him and spy on him, and he's just honestly trying to beat that high score. No tricks, no nothing. And it is, I've never been so vocal watching a movie. I was screaming like, is this for real? Because I really wasn't convinced for the first half hour that it was a documentary. I thought it had to have been a mockumentary because it is just so fucking pathetic.
How do you really feel? Jesus.
Get a life. I'm sorry. And they're the funny thing is, this documentary came out like 2005, 2006, 2007, something like that. And they are still competing. These two guys, like, it ends with one of them winning, one of them losing, and good. But you check the site that keeps these scores, and they have referees. They have fucking referees that stand over your shoulder and watch and make sure you don't cheat. I don't know how you could cheat.
When you're recording it on VHS, there's a lot of things you can do.
No, that was definitely a cheat, and I'm shocked that that happened. But even then, like when he had to go to an arcade and have a referee stand over his shoulder for several hours watching him, like, what the hell is he going to do? Like, when no one's looking, crawl to the back machine and rewire it to give him the high score? I mean, Jesus. So, I thought it was very sad. I thought it's such a waste of life. And so these guys are still competing. This year, Billy Mitchell beat him, and then Steve Wiebe beat him again.
There's a third player involved now too. I think we had a news article about it a couple months
Hank
ago.
Hank Chin.
Yeah. But
yeah.
But
he's been beaten.
Like, I appreciate your enthusiasm for, you know, coming at this from a completely, you know, fresh perspective.
Get a life sort of point of view.
Fresh perspective, because I know you didn't grow up with games or
I did. I just didn't own them.
Well, I guess this is the kind of classic era of arcade games, which is just, you know, something I really respect. And yeah, I think the Twin Galaxy stuff is silly in the way that, you know, it seems like it's just so dated how they're actually handling these world records, and, you know, very Guinness Book of World Records, we're having, you know, the witness type of stuff, and there's got to be better ways to track that. But and Billy Mitchell represents a part of nerd gaming culture that reviles me quite a bit, but there's just something endearing about Steve Wiebe, and you know, he wasn't of that culture before this documentary came out. Granted, they're still going on to play, but you know, he had a hobby that he was good at, and I don't know, I don't hold that against him. I understand where you're coming from, but I still will defend Steve Wiebe and classic arcade games and the hunt for the high score. Like, that's
not when it comes before your family.
There
were two wonderful lines.
He is now famous and making money from this.
That's great, good for him. But when you have videotape of your son screaming in the background, "Dad, stop playing Donkey Kong," because he was doing it like every friggin' night. And his kids are growing up. He's missing out on their childhood. The best one came from his daughter, though, was when he was in the car with her and he was explaining how the Guinness World Book of Records worked. And she looked right at him without missing a beat and said, "Yeah, some people ruin their lives to get in there." And she was like 7. So hats off.
So much hate.
I'm sorry.
The villain of the movie.
Family first. I know, but you.
His Weeby's family is better off today because of that movie.
That may be true.
Anyway, it's a good movie. It's a very interesting documentary to watch. And yeah, you're the first person I've ever talked to that's been incensed by it. But you know, that's why we love you. So.
My other favorite thing from that was when Billy Mitchell was pushing. He has a hot sauce that he makes, and he was pushing the other brands off of the shelves and moving his product in front of them. That cracked me up.
Yeah,
he was sitting there talking about Donkey Kong, but meanwhile, like, tampering with store displays to promote his hot sauce.
That's why he's a big douche.
He is a big douche. I'm sorry. Moving on.
Right, Ethan, top that.
I was about to announce that I was going to put my name in the hat of competing for the Donkey Kong high score, but I feel that you know, it's not going to land on enthusiastic ears. So I'll talk about the Neo Geo station that's going to be coming up on PlayStation Network, and those are games that you can get high scores on too. but they probably won't make a movie about you that Christina can get upset about. So that's probably
a safer hobby.
Metal Slug.
Yeah.
You know,
any other game?
King of Fighters, why not? I'm excited about it.
I never had a Neo Geo. Did anybody know?
Oh, I don't think anybody did. They were like, $600.
My neighbor whose dad won the lottery had a Neo Geo.
Oh, shit, yeah.
But he never let me play it, and he was a douchebag.
Is that a console?
Yes, it's a console.
I've never heard of it.
It's around the Super Nintendo era, but it was a little bit more powerful and much more expensive.
Yeah.
It was like, so the Super Nintendo 16-bit, they tried to push the Neo Geo as like 32-bit, but it, you know, it was more like 18-bit. But it was like hundreds of dollars more expensive, and nobody owned them except the rich kids or the lottery kids.
Did you even see it ever in a store?
No, I can't remember ever seeing it.
I can't remember either.
I don't even know what those look like.
And that and then what, the TurboGrafx-16 and the Jaguar, those were the really expensive ones that no one had. So
3DO.
Later. Yeah. There's another one. Cole, your shout out.
Oh, my shout out is one of concern. IGN and GameStop have partnered, which is just like, ew. Like, IGN was the first video game site I went to way back in the day when it was N64 N64.com before they all
covered my locker in high school.
Yes, before they covered your locker. before it became like this one big hub of video game and entertainment news, which I don't even go to anymore because I find their site too cluttered.
Yep.
But them a journalistic property partnering with a retail store, it's just so weird. Like,
what's the partnership? Like, what are they partnering for?
So it looks like IGN will be creating ads on GameStop.com, Editorial content of IGN will appear on GameStop, and then obviously like the GameStop sales will be featured prominently on IGN.com.
Huh.
So, I mean, I can kind of understand where they can be related and, you know, have this partnership, because, you know, covering games and selling games is, you know, pretty much hand in hand. But I just think it's kind of weird that basically an online magazine and a company who already has a magazine in stores are partnering in Game Informer are going to be partnering up and
yeah,
throwing content both ways.
I wonder how Game Informer feels about that, actually. But I think historically GameStop's featured a lot of GameSpot content, like a lot of their reviews. So I think they might have had a partnership before, but I'm just guessing. But okay. But yeah, just – I don't know. But I mean, IGN is the – you know, it's one of the more commercial
I'm just reading on this site. They have –
And you got to give that to
30
GameStop.
30 million unique visitors, so.
You got to give that to GameStop. They're actively looking for ways to survive past what they are right now. I mean, I hate it, but it's still interesting to see that all evolve, but it doesn't surprise me about IGN. I mean, that's just I've stopped going to their site a long time ago. So, they've got to have those more commercial partners.
Yeah, I just think the whole issue that happened a couple years ago with GameStop and our GameSpot and, you know, Gerstmann is the whole editorial content being influenced by some ad partners. It's kind of icky.
But it's not as bad. Partnering with a seller of games is not as bad as the publisher developer deals that revolve in the GameStop stuff.
Oh yeah. I mean, I understand that, but you know, do you think like GameStop might influence what, yeah, IGN covers, so to help them sell more? So I don't know.
Every review comes with an audio file that plays automatically that says, "Would you like to pre-order your copy of whatever you're reading?"
Fuck.
Conspiracy. There he is. Nice job, Ethan. All right, I will wrap us up with my final shout out's a little bit more fun, a little less serious, but Games on Demand, they keep adding to that on Xbox 360 to download 360 titles. And one of the newest games on there is kind of a cult classic, Earth Defense Force 2017. It's basically it's a very, very Japanese, it's a bad game. It's $20, but it is just giant insects are attacking the world, and you are a soldier that has unlimited rockets to stop them. And the thing about this game is the first time I booted it up, the first time I started the game, I shot a rocket into the distance right at some skyscraper way off in the distance and waited, and the rocket hit the skyscraper, and the skyscraper fell down, and I was like, this game is awesome. I think I got it for like $30 at the time. It is mindless fun, well worth $20, and it's at your fingertips now on Games on Demand, so I recommend checking it out. We'll post a link to it on the notes for the podcast, but kill giant bugs with rockets.
Is there a multiplayer component to this
game?
Yeah,
I think you can play co-op. I don't know about online, but I know you can play split-screen co-op, and it's just, yeah, you have unlimited ammo, and you're blowing up giant bugs that have really bad physics to them, and it's funny. It's just funny how bad it is, and that makes it fun.
Well, there's a sequel coming out that looks like they're actually kind of taking themselves seriously,
you know,
on the next rendition of it, so it kind of looks cool, so I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, Ethan, you'd love it. I kind of posted that for you.
I figured as soon as you say mindless, automatically everyone's like, oh, Ethan would love this.
All right, that's going to do it for tonight. We'll be back next week with another episode. Everybody, thanks for listening. And you guys, thanks for joining me again. And we will see you next week. Later.